You, of course, could use other solutions like Automate Woo or MailChimp to be able to
send. And we'll get into those in our advanced recommendations also.
Okay. For people. So cut that out.
Sorry to cut you off. I just don't want to spoil the entire rest of the episode.
Sorry. I may have written that note before I got moved on.
Your solutions are too robust. We're still in the basic section. Hello, everyone, and welcome to eCommerce Unscripted, the podcast where we are all about helping you achieve WooCommerce mastery. My name is Sam Greenspan. And I am the host of this podcast, and today I am joined by two wonderful panelists. First up, coming to us from sunny Portland, Oregon, Nick McLaughlin.
Hi, yeah, I'm Nick. I'm looking out the window and it's not completely sunny, I wouldn't say. But yeah, I've been around the old e-commerce block for a few years now. I actually started out working for a small business, building out their e-commerce. And then now I'm more on the support side, helping a whole bunch of folks do that for themselves.
And our other co-host coming to us from sunny Montreal, Quebec, Canada, Tabitha Turton.
Hey everyone, I'm Tabitha. And yes, it is literally sunny today, but a nice crisp cold day, of course, in the great north here. I've been working with WooCommerce, on at least the WordPress platform since 2007. That was the first time I installed it. So wow. I've been around WooCommerce for a while as well. I work as a product manager here at GoDaddy. So I really love diving into all things e-com and looking at how we can help businesses succeed.
It's great. I would have said you would have been very impressive working on WooCommerce 4 years before it was invented. That would have been quite the feat, but I am glad we've clarified that. We're all very excited to tackle today's topic, which is fulfillment, order fulfillment, not perhaps spiritual fulfillment, unless your order fulfillment gets you to that place, which it very well may. Fulfillment is going to be defined as everything that's involved in getting an order to a customer successfully. So that means from the minute the customer places the order to getting their product off the shelf, getting it into a box, getting it out to them. And we'll also be somewhat including returns in our definition of fulfillment here. Tabitha, you wanted to speak a little bit about how returns factor into the order fulfillment process.
Okay.
You left a note in our document saying, I think I can about how returns factor into the order process.
Whoops.
That's right. Sorry. Forgot I volunteered for that.
Yeah.
Yes, I would definitely categorize them as part of the order fulfillment process, since when you look at going through all the steps after you've shipped something, if, let's say, there was some sort of error with the shipment, with the actual package that was received, it then needs to be processed by your fulfillment team to get the return back to your warehouse to go through then the restocking and getting the correct item back to your customer. It's definitely part of the whole process. You want to keep it to a minimum. You know, it would be something that preferably isn't going to happen at all, but it does affect your how you're fulfilling orders simply because it's along that whole chain. I probably should have looked back at my notes.
No, I think that was accurate. I think that, yeah, returns factor in because it's also a matter of getting the right things to the right people or taking back in and keeping your warehouse organized, because fulfillment really affects all aspects. Fulfillment is a major part of obviously running a WooCommerce store or e-commerce store that delivers products. And it can be extremely challenging, whether you're fulfilling products yourself in-house, out of your own warehouse, out of your own garage, or whether you're using a third-party logistics company to handle your fulfillment. Fulfillment is known for eating up margins. One study found that the average cost to fulfill an order can be up to 70% of that order value. And that takes into account labor cost, overhead, splits, returns. We'll also cover some discussion later about stockouts. Tabitha, that's another one you volunteered for. So I hope you're more ready to talk. No, I'm just kidding. You are fantastic on returns. And I know you also know stockouts quite well and have some deep personal connection to it. So one more stat for you, because even though this is e-commerce unscripted, I am working off an outline. And with Annette, 1 in 4 businesses already spend up to 30% of their revenue on fixing fulfillment issues. So we're going to talk about why tightening up fulfillment is so important to your WooCommerce store. And we're also going to discuss some strategies that you can use to optimize your WooCommerce site to help your fulfillment, keep your costs down, make your customers happy, and above all else, make your life easier. Because when you have good fulfillment, you're going to have a smooth running store. To dive into the topic, though, we're going to just talk a little bit about how fulfillment affects our own e-commerce shopping experience and things you may have experienced. So the first question I'm going to kick over to Tabitha and Nick is, what do you consider to be fast shipping?
Ooh, oh, I have feelings here. I'll notice that it's fast if it's, I really hate to admit this, but it's the Amazon effect. If it's less, if it's 2 days or less, I'm like, okay, that's fast. I mean, that's 100% because of Prime shipping expectations. Realistically, if I'm thinking about how long does it take me to get a certain product delivered to me from anywhere in the world? Like, a week feels great. That seems very reasonable, understanding global supply chains are insane. But when I'm ordering something online, it's definitely, okay, that 2 day, is that, if that's there, then that's what I'm looking for, yeah.
Totally along the same lines as Nick. I even, like, the first thing that I thought of was the Amazon effect, especially in the past year with COVID and relying more and more on online or online shopping. I've gotten so used to having something within a day or two arrive at my doorstep. A year ago, it would have been reasonable to wait 4 to 5 days, and I would have considered that a decent turnaround. But now, because I rely so much on shopping online, yeah, longer than 1 or 2 days, and it's not fast at all.
I would say that you are both pretty much the standard customer perspective at this point. Only 42% of people think 3 days counts as fast. So everyone else thinks that you've got to be faster than 3 days. We have all become very spoiled by the concept of 2 day shipping or overnight shipping. We are willing to pay for faster shipping sometimes. Another study found that 70% of people will always just take the least expensive shipping option at an e-commerce store, regardless of what it is. They'll probably still expect fast shipping, but they'll take the least expensive one. 25% of people will pay for same day delivery, but only up to an extra $3. So we have some expectations as customers, basically, and these expectations put a lot of pressure on e-commerce merchants because we want fast shipping, we expect fast shipping, and we'll give them a couple of bucks toward it, but definitely not enough to cover what the difference is in overnighting something. That being said, a lot of people will take an action if it helps them qualify for free shipping. Have you ever done that? You know, you're at $24 on an order, so you spend 10 minutes on the site trying to find another $1 product to get to into your cart to get free shipping.
Oh, I'm a Absolutely. Sucker for that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something very human nature about that. Even to the extent of spending $7 more to save $5 on shipping.
Because yeah. you're saving money. Right. Of course, naturally.
It's basically free at that point.
Yes, I've definitely done those mental justification gymnastics in my head of like, it would have been this much for shipping. So it's really only $2 for this thing because I'm getting the free shipping for it. So you've made an order. You found a shipping speed that works for you. How often do you check the order status after you buy something?
It depends on who I've purchased from. So if this is the first time I've shopped with them, I'm going to be checking that order status. Like as soon as I've placed the order, I want to make sure that I've received some sort of notification to confirm. And then I'm checking daily, basically until that item has arrived on my doorstep, just because I don't have a great deal of confidence in a store until I've gone through the process at least once. With something with a store like Amazon, which will probably be referenced a fair amount here, I don't even check. I place my order and then I get my package the next day or in 2 days.
So for you, is it because of Amazon's shipping speed? Because you just know through years and years of doing this that you're going to get it in 2 days. You don't even bother to check the order status? Or is it because you trust them so implicitly as a retailer that you don't feel the need to check the order status?
Because, yeah, they've been able to develop that trust in their whole process. So I'm so familiar with the checking out, and it's so simple. And I get that confirmation as soon as I've clicked the button or tapped it on my phone, which is typically how I'm shopping from my phone with them, that I don't even worry about it. Unless it's something that doesn't fall within that Prime shipping period, then I might check in. If it was expected in 3 or 4 days, I might check in the last day just to confirm I'm getting it. More likely, I would look at the email I get directly from the shipping provider that they use here in Montreal.
I think I'm actually pretty similar to Tabitha in this, and I hadn't realized it. I was thinking, like, I'm having been in the fulfillment world on like the merchant end of it, of actually packing boxes and stuff, I nerd out about that stuff and I get really interested in, okay, this like small company that I ordered from, what's their turnaround time? What's their process look like? What sort of follow-up emails do they have going? So I maybe look for that stuff more just because I have that interest. But it is definitely more so when it's somebody I haven't ordered from before. We get regular like scheduled subscription delivery of like our cat food delivered to us. Our cat has to have a special diet and it's an entire thing that we have to drive to a different vet for just if we want to buy it in person. So it's just way easier. We found online where we can just get it delivered to us regularly. And it's actually kind of a problem that we like never check on the tracking for that, to where we had a shipment get delayed and she almost ran out of food last time, because it's been such a reliable service for us outside of that.
So it really comes down for both of you to the trust in the merchant or the reliability of the merchant in terms of checking order status. I think I'm pretty different. I just hammer order statuses. Like, I can't get enough of checking when my stuff is going to come. Sometimes you'll get a place where you can actually see where the UPS truck is driving around and it'll estimate where it is in your neighborhood. I'm all about that. The average person looks up their order 3.5 times per order. So people are checking their orders a lot. I think that probably corresponds with orders that have longer shipping times. I don't think you're going to necessarily do that in a 2-day order, but if it's a bit of a longer time, you'll check that. And the majority of customers do say they want real-time visibility into their order status. So they want a place to be able to go on an e-commerce site to check where their order is and how it's doing. Another question on your preferences, and we'll see how they connect with the general masses at large. When you're placing an order on an e-commerce site, what kind of delivery time estimate would make you say, no, I'm not ordering this?
I'd probably, for a full-on, I'm just not even going to order this. It depends a little bit on the product, but I would say it'd probably have to be like 2 weeks for me to say like, yeah, that's not really worth it. There's some things, like I ordered my desk when we were getting into work from home, and I think that was, had a pretty long turnaround, but that was, you know, a larger item that was a lot more worth it for me to wait on. But in general, yeah, if we're pushing like in the week to 2 week range, then that starts to feel like, I could probably get this somewhere else.
Pretty similar. I'm willing to wait 2 weeks, but I will look around to see if I can find alternatives. And if I can't, then I will go with it. Because also here in Canada, it is really difficult to get items shipped quickly. That's why it's been such a game changer with the growth that we've seen with online stores in the past year, because it has changed everything from expectations to the reality of when you get your items. So at this point, I would say it would be a month that I would nope out and just be like, I can probably go without, and maybe actually go to a real store locally. But less than that, I think is okay. Not ideal.
I think I'm around there with you. Like there are definitely times where, did you ever have this thing where you go to like the Apple store and you start looking up, oh, I probably should replace my computer now. And then you look and it says it'll be like 3 weeks. I'm like, you know what? I can get another year out of my current computer. Never mind. I don't need your long lead times just because, you know, 16 gigabytes of RAM is so difficult to put into one of these computers, whatever it may be. The most common response of people in surveys is 38% will abandon a cart if the estimate is over 8 days. Another 16% have an issue if the wait will be 6 to 7 days. And a quarter of people say if you don't give them a delivery estimate, that's the problem for them, even bigger than a long delay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to order from someone if they can't tell me when to expect it. I'd rather wait 3 months even than not have any delivery date. Because how can you have confidence in that?
All right. Last question for you. And this one, I'm not even sure we have stats on this, but we're just going to see where this takes us. What's the biggest shipping disaster you've ever had with an e-commerce delivery? Anyone got one ready to go?
Yeah, I had ordered a new like hi-fi stereo receiver. And then I received an email saying it was signed at 4 at the front desk. At the time, I lived in a condo with no front desk. I had no idea where this front desk existed and how I would track it down. And so then I figured out that this shipping provider typically had a drop-off location just a few blocks away. It was like nearly closing time. So I literally ran those like four or five blocks to the store. When I ran in, the delivery person was there dropping off packages. I was, hey, you thought, yeah, they pulled it out. And I decided that I wouldn't do any business with any companies that used that shipping provider for their shipping.
So that's interesting, because the stat I do have is that 94% of people will blame the retailer for a poor delivery experience, not the shipping company. So wow. You are the outlier who said, I will blame not just the shipping company for this, but anyone who dares to work with this shipping company, I will now blame for this.
I wouldn't blame them, but like, I couldn't rely on that shipping provider in that location. So I would just do no business with them. Yeah.
All right. Now we've shared our thoughts on shipping, the stats on shipping, fulfillment. And when we come back, we will get into some strategies for your WooCommerce store or your clients' WooCommerce stores of how you can make fulfillment go even smoother.
Building an amazing e-commerce site doesn't have to be complicated. Delight your clients with hosting from GoDaddy and take advantage of our streamlined setup, built-in SSL certificate, daily backups, and nearly $6,000 worth of included extensions to get online and selling fast, all for under $20 a month. Visit GoDaddy.com to learn more.
All right, we are back in our order fulfillment episode. My name is Sam, joined again by Nick and Tabitha. And we're going to cover some strategies now to streamline the fulfillment for your WooCommerce stores. The first thing we're going to get into is just a few basic things you can do. The first thing that we're going to recommend is setting up automatic order update emails in WooCommerce. These emails are ones that are built into the WooCommerce core. WooCommerce has a number of built-in emails, and a lot of them revolve around updating customers on order statuses, things like processing and orders completed and orders canceled. Tabitha, Nick, would you guys like to explain just a little bit about setting up these emails in WooCommerce?
First, they are essential. Once you start setting up, you know, your store, and you're moving on to, okay, how am I going to process these orders? It's really important to keep your customers informed at every step of the way, because like we've discussed earlier, you need to build up that trust. Once your customers have that confidence in you, they may not check in. They may be like Nick and I, which we're like, yeah, all good to go. But considering that folks check in on average 3.5 times, was it 3.5 times per order? Yeah. Being able to knock out those emails at every important stage, whenever an order has transitioned to a new status, is going to provide the best and smoothest sort of experience for your customers. And as you mentioned, with the built-in WooCommerce emails, you have the option to send out, you know, those two crucial ones. You've got the processing and the completed emails.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Tabitha highlighted is really key. The cool thing is, and this is probably more advanced stuff, but you can dress that up to make it more personal. It doesn't have to be black and white text email that just has a number in it. You can still carry your brand and things in that, but remembering that like the key factor here is doing the functional, the transactional thing and getting that done in a way that keeps things moving.
These are highly anticipated, highly opened, highly clicked through emails, but people are doing all of that for a very specific purpose, which is to check on their order. All right. The other one basic strategy that we want to talk about is offering multiple shipping speeds or methods. It can be tempting just to set up one basic shipping method or offer one shipping speed. It can keep your cost out. It can keep the complexity down. However, I think as we've demonstrated in the stats above, lots of customers have lots of different expectations when it comes to shipping speeds, even to the extent where not being able to offer the shipping speed they want or giving them options on how fast you'll get it to them could cause them to cancel their order or abandon their cart altogether.
I think a lot of this has to do with working with your shipping provider, like however you're actually fulfilling or sending these orders out, to see what options you have available and what makes sense for what you're sending. But really, a lot of it comes down to giving some sort of sense of like ownership or influence to the customer. If they want to pay more to have it get there faster, they can do that. And if they want to feel like they're saving money by giving you some time and space to get it to them, then they can do that. I found in working on the fulfillment side of this that even that having those options and letting customers choose is always a better result for the customer than trying to tell them what they want, just because they feel like they made a choice. Even if you only have two choices anyways, and you were going to do it that way anyways, or something like that, presenting it as something that the customer can choose, they then feel like they've influenced the process and have a little more understanding, and it helps set their expectation of what they're expecting to receive.
And so, Tabitha, on the technical side, how would you say someone could go about adding a couple of extra shipping speeds or methods to their WooCommerce store?
By getting the right plugins. So if you're taking care of the fulfillment yourself, it'd be a matter of then figuring out which shipping providers you want to work with in your area or to serve your customer base. And if you don't have a good sense of that yet, then looking at what your competitors are doing within the same space, or not, they don't even have to be direct competitors. They could be folks that are selling to the same areas. So let's say if you're in the States, then you'd probably be looking at installing plugins for USPS, UPS, FedEx, Purolator. And so if you set up accounts with all of those folks, you can then be able to, you can integrate those shipping providers with WooCommerce and provide, you know, that information throughout on the checkout flow.
And do you think there's an advantage to doing flat rates, or should you go with live shipping rates once you've integrated those providers?
Ooh, I think there are pros and cons to both. That's a tough question. Because
sorry, I didn't mean to throw, that's not even on our outline. That's totally off the format sheet, just throwing curveballs.
So for live rates, I would say that the pros include that your customer's going to get like the best possible rate based on whatever discounts you have in place with the provider that you're using. So that's a definite pro to using a live rate. They're also paying the exact amount without any additional fees. So they're carrying that amount and that's upfront too. So that can be a way of convincing your customer to like complete that purchase. They can also choose the best speed option, especially if they're willing to pay a little extra, so they can see all the different live rates. And if they're amenable to that extra $3 for expedited shipping, then they're going to be willing to use that and place the order. But there are definite cons, right? So it's not something that you can really differentiate on with your competitors when you're using live rates. There's no benefit to being like, oh, we give you the most exact shipping prices. Right?
One of those features customers care about, right?
No. Accurate.
And especially if your competitors are offering free shipping, then you're in some trouble there. And then depending on the customer location, if you're looking at live rates and depending on what their location and then what you're selling, let's say it's a low value item and they're in Alaska and your warehouse is in Florida, like they're likely going to have to spend more on the shipping of that item to their location than they would for the item itself. So that can be a real detractor there. Then with flat rate, there are major pros and cons as well. So like the flat rate is a great promotional tactic. That way you can actually compete with competitors being saying that, okay, we just offer $5 shipping across the continental states. That would be something that a lot of people would be interested in. Can also help increase the order value if they're going to get a great deal on their order if they add just a couple dollars more. So if you're offering a flat rate, if they purchase $30 or something. But again, with the flat rate, there's the con then that can discourage small orders because the flat rate might cost more than the item that they've ordered.
Let's see, Nick, when you were running working in your e-commerce, in the e-commerce world, what was your approach to that? Did you like live shipping rates? Did you do a flat rate thing? What was your approach?
We looked at doing flat rates a couple times, and we stuck with the live rates while I was there, at least. I've been keeping tabs, and I think they've changed that since then, so I really want to talk to some old friends and see what their thinking was. But yeah, our thing was always exactly what Tabitha said. Like, we're always getting the best rate for each customer. And that was our way of, you know, personalizing that service so that no matter where you're at, we weren't adding anything onto the shipping rate even. Like, you were just paying exactly what the carrier was charging. And we were always making contract deals to try and improve those rates too. And I think that's really where you can start to get into some of the differentiation. But you're absolutely right. It's really tough to compete when you're dealing with live rating because of just like these massive shipping conglomerations that, you know, you can never get the sort of like economies of scale. I would say for a business looking into, you know, which of these options to do, Live is definitely the easier to get set up with because you're getting a quote from your shipping company somehow. And just figuring out a way to pass that on to customers. Tabitha said, and within WooCommerce, I think almost all major carriers have either their own plugin or there's implementations of their data where you can pull Live rates directly into WooCommerce. For flat rate, you really need to do a little more of the business homework, I think, beforehand to know where is your product going, where are your customers at, and how much is the average customer paying for shipping, and what sort of tiers make sense as far as maybe defining like some shipping zones and saying, okay, customers within these certain postal codes are going to pay this rate for shipping. But then as you get further out, defining where does that rate start to increase?
Next up, we're going to move now to some of the intermediate strategies you can use. And here we're going to cover a few WooCommerce extensions that you can incorporate into your store that should help you with the fulfillment process. And we're going to cover the whole breadth of the fulfillment process here. So the first is print invoices and packing lists. So this is an extension that allows you to print an invoice or a packing list or pick list. Human error is actually by far the number one cause of fulfillment issues. Studies have found that almost 2/3 of fulfillment issues are caused by human error. So one of the most effective ways to reduce human error is to try to keep communication as tight as possible throughout the entire process. And this extension can help with that, as well as other aspects of fulfillment as well. Nick, if you'd like to speak a little bit about print invoices and packing lists and how a store can implement this to streamline their fulfillment.
Yeah, this one's pretty great. I really love the flexibility of this plugin for adapting to different fulfillment types. Everybody has their own process depending on your product and where you're at in the scale of your business. How much warehousing are you doing versus making to order and stuff like that. But basically anytime you have a physical product, I would say like this is going to come in handy in keeping track of, at least on the pick list and the packing list side. Invoices, that's everybody has to keep track of money. And that's any store. But yeah, the picking list, the packing lists are really helpful in, like you said, keeping down the human error and clarifying communication around what's needed. It's really helpful to have a standard form of how that information is communicated so that folks know what to look for and where, and whoever's doing the fulfillment, whether that's you 6 hours later, or you have a team doing that for you, they know where to look, they know what to expect, they can quickly spot discrepancies that might sneak through otherwise if you don't have a standardized format. The plugin lets you print out your own documents. You can also customize like some of the information that's on there and how that's displayed to where that really fits into your own fulfillment workflow.
Yeah, Tabitha, any thoughts on this extension?
Get it. It's definitely can bring some peace of mind just because of that human error that kind of crops into our day-to-day, unfortunately. So being able to refer to a list, I use lists all day long for the work that I do. And even when I'm packing to go on a trip, I'm creating a list to make sure that I've got all of the items that I need in my suitcase. And it makes sense to do the same for when you're pulling out items to package and deliver to your customer, considering that it has such a major impact on whether or not they're going to remain loyal customers with you. So you want to get it right. And if you don't, you just want to make sure that you delight the customer along the way.
And to that end, we can talk about the next extension, which is Order Status Manager. So as we talked about, the average customer is looking up their order 3.5 times per order. I'm way above that. Nick and Tabitha are both apparently way below that because they're far more trusting people that their products are going to be delivered, or just better at being adults and more patient than I am. But either way, most people are looking up their orders quite a bit. People want real-time visibility into their order status. Tabitha, if you'd like to talk a little bit about what Order Status Manager can bring for a WooCommerce site.
It's pretty cool because you're able to add custom statuses to the defaults that are provided within WooCommerce. So they're pretty simple ones that you get by default. You've got the processing completed, you've got payment failed, return and cancel. And so let's say you want to let your customer know that something is being built or assembled. This is an opportunity to create a custom order status, add that or manage it with this plugin, and even be able to update then their order information so that if they log in, they're going to see where they're at with that order, which part of the process. Also can be really helpful for a part of the shipping. Since that concept isn't built into WooCommerce, basically the completed order status is what is considered that shipped status, but you don't have something for shipped. So if you want to let your customers know that and give them like a separate email on that front, you could then add a shipped status or even a waiting shipment to let them know that at least the label's been made. It just hasn't been picked up yet by the provider.
Again, really great for customizing. Everybody's fulfillment process is going to look different based on the needs of their business and their customers. So this one's really great in getting a little more fine-grained into the sort of order statuses that you have within WooCommerce as opposed to just the default functional one. I'd also highlight the new emails that you can add here from a customer standpoint is obviously, like we mentioned earlier, like the more communication you have is like building that trust with your company. And so if you can keep them updated along the way, even if maybe you do have there's a 2-day waiting period before you can get an order ready to ship it out or something, and that's just in the nature of your product, you can at least send an email that says, hey, we've received this, and it's all ready to go. We're building it. Or like it's built, it's packed. We're waiting for it to be picked up. It'll be out the door tomorrow or whatever the case is. You can just over communicate a little bit to make sure that customers are in the loop and help them trust that their order is gonna get there. It's also super helpful just on the admin side to be able to keep track of where that stuff is as a shop manager, to know how many orders are flowing through where, and you get a little more fine-tuned information on where orders are maybe bottlenecking or holding up or stuff like that that you can adjust your fulfillment around.
I think that's an excellent point, because we so often focus on the customer experience, but how this plugin can impact the work that you're doing internally is huge. To be able to monitor then where you're at within that order or in a bunch of orders, like how many have we hit some sort of evergreen blocker here, and we need to right the ship so we can continue moving through.
I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but that is such a relevant reference to the current time when we're recording this.
We all just need to appreciate
then,
how timely
who knows
that is
what
now.
Crazy thing is going to be happening. Nick, I really liked the concept of over communicating that you brought up. I think that's a really good point. I think that sometimes as e-commerce store owners, there's a worry about bombarding or overwhelming people with the amount of correspondence, with the amount of emails. I think if there's ever a case where people are going to be cool with it, it's when you're updating them on how their order's coming along.
Yep.
The last thing I want to talk about here in this section is I want to talk a little bit about stockouts and just a few basic thoughts on what to do about those. So Tabitha, I know you have some traumatic personal experience with stockouts. You left it very vague and mysterious, so I'm very intrigued by what we're about to learn. But I thought you could take us into our discussion on stockouts with that.
Right. I'm trying to, I should probably make it more detailed when I leave these notes or more detail for myself, my own personal use. But stockouts, how long ago was it now? At least 10 years ago, I was working with a couple friends managing, or I wasn't managing, but it was like a business of ours that we had set up an online e-com drop shipping business. And it was interesting. We were dealing with rugs, area rugs. And because we relied on warehouses to ship the items for us, of course, we were relying on their inventory as well and getting inventory updates from them. And so many would end up being backordered. So it was a major pain point when we were dealing with order fulfillment with our customers, because we'd hear from our provider like, okay, the rug is backordered a month. So we'd let our customer know, they'd go through with the order. But then a few weeks later, we'd get another backorder update saying, okay, this item is now backordered 2 more months. So it could push, some rugs would be pushed out like 6 months or longer. And it was painful being able to communicate that with our customers. We found strategies to be around finding alternatives with other rug makers, or just within, let's say we're going to try and find some sort of similar rug within the same color palette that we might offer from a different rug maker. But so much of our energy went into dealing with these back orders and trying to save a sale. because there was such a delay that could just ruin it, bring it all crashing down.
Nick, I know you've dealt with this too, probably in your world. What would you say is a strategy or the best tack a store can take to avoid the pitfalls Tabitha explained of having stockouts?
When it happens, it's hard to do much in that moment, right? Like when something's backordered, when you run out of stock, and you can only make things can only be made so fast. You're obviously running into a lot of logistical limitations there that you might not have a lot of control over. From my experience, the more kind of fruitful labor was being put into being able to project your order volume. And again, this is going to depend a lot on the products that you're selling and how many different variations of specific products people can choose and things like that. It might get even harder and harder to plan these things out as that gets more complex. But any sort of projection work you can do around sales, and again, it takes time to get that data, but to be able to start to understand a little bit more of what's going out and when, and being able to plan around that from a production standpoint, was definitely the most fruitful thing on our end, in my experience, to have a little more understanding before you get to that stock out moment of, okay, this is what's coming. We can plan around that and get those things in the works, those 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 days, whatever it is, in advance, rather than having that come in and having to have that time buffer happen after the order's already been placed and now they're stuck waiting.
Yeah. If you can do that up front and let them know that something is out of stock before they've placed the order. I really like how there are more options now for wait lists or wish lists, so people can get on a wait list if something is out of stock and then receive a notification once it's come back in stock. Because I think that is a much more positive experience than being told that something's backordered, and then also if those dates end up changing.
Finally, we're going to just talk about one advanced technique that can help with your order fulfillment. Now that you've set up the automatic order updates in WooCommerce, you want to do a little more. We're going to talk about setting up even better transactional emails. So Tabitha, would you like to get a little bit into using a third party or setting up better transactional emails for your store?
If you've played around with the built-in emails at all, you'll be familiar with a number of the pain points. So you need to be familiar with HTML first and foremost to be able to do anything with the built-in emails. And for some of us, that's okay, but it's really not the easiest experience. And if you're not working with a developer and you've never worked with the language before, it's really going to shut everything down. It also means that you can't easily personalize the messaging. And as Nick mentioned earlier, if you can bring in some of your personality and branding into that email, it's going to make a big difference. So it's wonderful that you do have third-party options. You could go with something like just a simple SMTP server, like Postmark. So they would take care of the email sending for you, but you'd still be relying on the built-in templates. So if you go one step further and you look for a provider that also covers those templates, then you'd be looking at something like AutomateWoo or Metric, MailChimp, Klaviyo. You've got a number of email platforms that you can use that can be integrated with WooCommerce, and they'll take over those emails for you. So they'll have all of that order data within the template, but they're going to have a much friendlier email builder. So typically they're going to be drag and drop options, and you can move things around and visually design that template and add like a cute little GIF or video or something, and just to make it a much more personalized experience.
Another thing that we highlighted earlier, Sam, I think you mentioned that these are some of your like most high click-through rate for in anybody's inbox is their transactional order emails. So it's just such a great platform, a great moment to show your brand and show your personality a little bit through that, because you know that people are going to be looking at these. So it's just a really golden opportunity. I wanted to highlight that. And I think another really cool thing that a lot of these, like the third-party email services specifically will let you do, is get a lot more information on kind of the customer behavior tracking in your click-through rates, but even all the way back into like conversions, like how many people opened this email and then clicked through and bought something on the site because of that. And being able to get those statistics, I think, is really helpful in understanding and shaping some of your own like future marketing efforts around what's successful and what people respond to.
Yeah, I will say I recently clicked through an order email, as I've now established I am quite prone to do. And I did, in fact, buy a cross-sell item that they were advertising to me on my order status page, which I thought was pretty clever. With transactional emails, emails. Obviously, this is a situation where these are business-focused emails. But when you get to the order status page itself, all bets are off. They can do what they want with it. And it was really interesting. It's funny being on this side of the fence, like knowing the term cross-sell and still being totally taken in by it and being like,
getting
all
cross-sold.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. You got me. You win. All right.
It makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense though. Like for the items where you'll likely forget the accessory, or even let's say it's something that needs batteries. How often I'd rather be reminded, oh yeah, I should get these batteries because they're the weird nickel sized ones. And you might as well get them now as opposed to in 6 months time when all of a sudden I have a dead remote and I can't do anything with it.
We will be right back after this to answer your question and answer. Let me try that again.
Who's that?
No. All right. So we'll be back right after this with your question and answer. Nope, I didn't like that one either.
No.
All right, one more time. I should have scripted this. I promised I wouldn't in the name of the podcast. All right. So we'll be back right after this to answer some of your burning questions.
It's time to get your clients selling online in less time and for less money with GoDaddy Hosting. Learn more at GoDaddy.com.
All right, welcome back. And we are here for our question answer. We have one great question today. I have a WordPress site and I want to create a store. Should I install WooCommerce or start totally clean on a new site?
That's a great question. I feel like a lot of that comes, there's a lot of different factors that come into play there. I think largely a lot of that can come down to really almost like a marketing question more than a technical one. When you're launching your store, how is that being perceived as part of your brand? Are you starting something totally new and this is like a separate project? In which case, yeah, it totally makes sense to start this on a new site. If you have an existing customer base, or at least like maybe a fan base that you're now like finally getting your product online to them and you have this interest built up, then you might have some more value in keeping them on the same looking site, same URL, all of those sorts of things. That said, there's technical solutions for whichever way you'd want to do it. You can build a separate WooCommerce site completely from scratch and then just migrate the URL over and then ta-da, it's launched. It's in the same place that everybody was expecting to find you anyways.
WooCommerce is like any other plugin. It can be installed on an existing site. So if you do have WordPress, you can just install the plugin. But I would say that there are some technical considerations. There is the theme that you're using, was it built or is it compatible with WooCommerce? And not all themes have been built for WooCommerce installation. And while you can correct that and make sure it does integrate well, you'll need to hire a developer. You need to make sure that there are specific hooks and actions that are added to that theme so that it plays nicely with WooCommerce. So if you're not working with anyone on that front, you don't have a developer that you're working with, you're not exactly comfortable with integrating a theme with WooCommerce, and your store hasn't been around that long, I would suggest just starting with a clean install and just installing a WordPress, finding a new theme that is going to integrate well with WooCommerce and then going from there.
That's going to do it for our episode. I would like to thank our great panelists, Nick McLaughlin and Tabitha Turton. If you'd like to see all the extensions we've talked about today and much of what we've covered, it will be in the show notes. And if you'd like to get many of these great extensions we've talked about today, please do check out GoDaddy's managed WordPress e-commerce hosting. It comes with nearly $6,000 worth of premium WooCommerce extensions, including, again, many of these. Plus, it's got a streamlined setup. You get a free domain, an SSL certificate, and it costs less than $20 a month. So it's a pretty good deal. For everybody here, thank you very much for listening, and we hope to see you again soon.